I have reached a milestone. This week will mark 10 years of marriage for me and my wife. And over the decade, I've learned a few things that I think every husband needs to know. Welcome to Fathering Our Future. I'm Anthony Vandegrift. I'm not the perfect dad, but every day I am trying to be better. And for today's episode, I'll go ahead and say something that should always be understood, but I'm also not the perfect husband. But every day I am also striving to be a better husband for my wife. But somehow, some way, by the grace of God, my wife and I will be celebrating our 10-year anniversary this week. And so I took some time to compile 10 tips over the 10 years of marriage that I want to share with you today. If you want to be a part of helping dads grow as disciple makers and making them aware of Fathering Our Future, you can help. And here is what I want you to do. I want you to leave a 5-star rating for this podcast and write a review wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you'll take a screenshot of that and send it to me at fatheringourfuture@gmail.com, I have a gift for you. I wrote a book called Cut the Crap, Direct Tips for Becoming a Dad. I cannot send you the physical copy, but I will send you the electronic copy of this book. And technically, you'll get a little bit more because the ebook has additional references that are linked all throughout it. So this is my gift for you for rating and reviewing this podcast. Again, send that to me at fatheringourfuture@gmail.com. And by doing that, you're helping create awareness of this podcast, and ultimately, you're helping dads grow as disciple makers. Our scripture from this week comes from Proverbs chapter 18 and verse number 22. If you're married, you should be very familiar with this one. It reads, "He who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord." I know we often talk about how time flies, but as I take a moment to sit and reflect on the fact that I've hit 10 years of marriage, that's kind of hard to swallow. And it's not so much that I feel like I'm getting old, it's just, where did the time go? A decade is a long time. We make these plans for ourselves, these 1-year, 5-year, 10-year plans, and to think, if I had 10-year plans set, when I got married, I would have already been to the due date. Now, I wasn't that put together, and I don't know that I still am that put together today, but I didn't have a 10-year plan. But it's remarkable to hit this decade mark and to look back and to think about all the things that have happened and transpired, mostly good, some pretty tough moments along the way that I think everyone at some point within their marriage probably encounter, but I had a little bit of a bumpy patch, but I'm so thankful for my wife. I'm thankful that she was patient with me. I'm married to a remarkable woman. She has transformed into an incredible mother. She works hard. She fights for her family. She puts us first. She does a lot of things that she probably shouldn't have to do, might not even need to do, but she goes the extra mile. She's genuine. She's kind. She's just a great human being. She's also very, very beautiful, but I think all the other stuff probably means the most. When we first were talking to each other, the attraction, the beauty, the exterior is the main thing that catches our eyes. And I think most of us as men can probably agree with that. But over time, if we never get intentional about looking beyond the surface and seeing what makes this woman the way that she is, I think we miss out on a lot of things. And honestly, I would recommend that you do that before you decide to marry the woman that you think is so beautiful, because time can take beauty away, and that happens to all of us. But it's worth doing, because if all you ever do is compliment the exterior of your wife, you just view her as one of your personal trophies, and you don't need to do that. That can be an additional tip that was not planned for today's episode, but make sure you compliment your wife for more than just her looks. So I want to go ahead and get into this. I've got 10 tips for you after 10 years of marriage. And I'm going to do my best to not spend too long going through all of these, even though each of these could probably be an episode in and of themselves. But we're going to start here with what I jotted down for number one, and that is support before you solve. As men, I totally get it. We have that Mr. Fix-It mentality. It is innate within us. It's intrinsic. And instinctively, we want to rise to the occasion, solve every problem, and just keep going on with our life. But in marriage, that cannot be the way that we proceed with our wife when she is talking to us. Because when our wife is opening up to us, it's more than just words. She's not just reading off some sort of a word problem on a test and saying, here's what I'm dealing with, I need help. When she's talking to us, when she's talking to you, when my wife is talking to me, it's, here's my emotions, here's how I feel, here's what I'm wrestling with, here's why this is a problem for me, this is where it stems from. It's way more than just, you have to get the right answer to the test question. And so what they need most from us is support. They need to know that we're listening, that we hear them, and they need to have some sense of validation with whatever they're dealing with. Affirm to them, yeah, that is a sucky situation. I'm sorry that you're going through that. And just support them in the moment. Don't try to solve. If there's an opportunity to solve, if you're prompted to solve, then give your opinion. But I would also advise that you don't give your opinion every time you offer it as if it is obvious, understood, and just blatant. Don't give advice in a way that can make your spouse feel dumb or belittled. Support, have some empathy, and then wait for the right moment to solve. Sometimes they don't need a solution. Sometimes they just need to know that they're not alone in what they're going through. And that gives them the boost that they need to get through whatever the problem is. They don't even need an answer all the time. So one thing that I have learned is if I have an idea, maybe I should keep it to myself for a while, listen, support, empathize, and just let my wife know that she's not alone in everything she's dealing with, that I'm with her. So number one, support before you solve. Number two, this is one that was challenging for me and still is to this day. Do what you say. Now, I say this in a couple of ways. I think the obvious way that most of us will think of this is oftentimes if our wife says, hey, can you take the trash out? We'll say, yes, I got it. Don't worry about it. Now, what she means is, can you take the trash out right now? And what we mean is, at some point today within our schedule, we will get the trash taken out. You can count on that. But that's not really what she wants. Now, the big hurdle here is a communication issue. So I would prompt you to say, do you need the trash taken out right now? Or can I take it out in a few minutes when I'm done doing whatever it is you happen to be doing? Just make that extra initiative, that take that extra step, and then you can resolve any sort of a conflict that might come out of that moment. Because what can happen, what sometimes does happen, is you're asked to do something, you say yes, but you don't move, you don't begin to act, and then your wife just does it, and then you get upset because you said you were going to do it, and it becomes this big argument. It becomes this huge disagreement, creates tension between you, and ruins your day sometimes. So when you say you're going to do something, do it. Because even though that this can be related to small things, this is still under the umbrella of trust. Trust is the foundation for relationship. If all the time you say, yes, I'll do it, and she's the one who ends up doing whatever it is you claimed you would do, you are breaking trust. You are chipping away at it. And even these little things can do major damage to trust that is the bedrock of your relationship. The Bible tells us that the small fox spoils the vine. It doesn't take a lot. The Bible also tells us in Ecclesiastes 10:1, this is a weird scripture and I just always liked it because it was odd, but it says that it takes a single fly, a little bitty single fly, spoils the entire batch of ointment. If it gets in there, it's all ruined and it's all going to be dumped out. And that's related to reputation. Be a man of your word. And when you say you're going to do something, do it. And if you mean you'll do it later, and you suspect that she wants you to do it now, just ask. Just speak. This is something that we're not great at, but open your mouth, push the words out, and get clarity. So that's one sense for this. But the other sense of this is oftentimes we tell our wife that we're going to do something. But because we have this Mr. Fix-It mentality and we like to help people, it's very easy, at least for me, to get stuck in a conversation with someone where I feel like I'm helping. Or sometimes it's just I'm selfishly interested and I lose track of time. But other times it's I'm doing something for somebody else and I get stuck in what I'm doing there. And out of a courtesy to them, I cast this consequence on my wife. So if I tell my wife, yes, we can do this, I'm going to go do this first, and I should be done at this time. But while I go and do whatever that one thing is, I go way past that time. I don't communicate to my wife during that, but I favor other people over my wife because I know that my wife is married to me and she made a vow that she's going to stick with me for better or for worse till death do we part. And I take advantage of that. That's something that we don't need to do. We have to truly live by a value system where we value first God, then our marriage, and then our children. So other people fall under that category, under those other three values. Your wife comes before everybody else. If you tell your wife that you are going to do something and you think that you have an excuse in, well, I got caught up doing this, it went a little bit longer than I thought. I thought maybe I should just go ahead and do this for them or whatever it was. That's not an excuse. What you're saying is, I rearranged my value system and I put someone else above you because we made this vow and this commitment. And would you really think it's worth separating with me because I did this one time, even if I do it a second time or a third time? Is it really grounds for separation? Probably not. And so sometimes we take advantage of that. So maybe it's intentional and maybe it's just subconscious. But I want to urge you in your relationship with your wife to do what you say you're going to do and make sure that in order to fulfill that you keep your wife prioritized above others. Number three, this is a fun one. We'll lighten the episode up a little bit here. Take trips without the kids. Now, I think you should take your kids with you as much as you can. I think it is a blast to take your kids places. Sometimes you end up just raising your children in a different spot, and that's kind of what it feels like. And you get home and you feel like you need to take another vacation because the kids were a handful. Totally get that. Been there, done that. I'm with you. But still, I think it's worth having those experiences. And I think if you can adjust your expectations, that it's not all that bad. I would highly recommend you go back and listen to the interviews that I did with Ryan O'Neill. He has taken his three kids around the world, and his youngest daughter at 18 months had been to six times as many countries as I have visited at the age of 33. So if you want some tips and tricks, go check out those interviews with Ryan O'Neill. But you have to make sure that, again, you live by this value system. First God, second your marriage, then your kids. Your wife comes before the children. You have to make sure that you are prioritizing time with her. Take trips without the kids. If you've got parents that you can fly them to, I don't care if your parents live in China, fly them to China and then go on your trip. Make it happen. Somehow, some way, make it work. There are churches that often do date nights for people. If you can figure out a church nearby that does something like that, then maybe it's just a singular date that you're able to do. But if you're not having isolated time with just you and your wife, you're going to create problems and you're not even going to realize that you're creating them. You're going to be stuck in the monotony of life. And then 10 years later, you're going to realize, why do we have tension? Why is there a problem between us? It's probably because you never prioritize time for you and your wife. And that's probably what it will stem from. So make sure that you take trips with your wife. I would highly recommend that you take a cruise, because unless you buy the Wi-Fi, your phone doesn't work. Unless you get off on a particular island or wherever you happen to be. That's what we do. And it's nice. And our kids have so much fun with their Papa and Gigi that even if we try to call them, they're not interested in talking. So it's a really nice getaway. And it's kind of all inclusive and it doesn't cost that much to take a cruise. So I would recommend that. But tip number three, make sure you are prioritizing getting away with just your wife. Number four, we're going to get back to the difficult stuff. This one is open up. Now, what I mean by this is I don't want you to just talk. I don't want you to just talk about your day. I want you to open up about how you feel about your day, your emotions, what you're dealing with, what you're wrestling with. If you try to bottle everything up and think, I will just willpower my way through this, you're going to leave your wife wondering. And you don't want to do that, because you and your wife are supposed to be two that have become one. That is the biblical definition of marriage. You shouldn't be keeping things from your wife. You shouldn't have a private life that your wife doesn't know about. And those emotions that you try to keep private, she should also be aware of those. It's not the easiest thing to do the first time or the second time. But the more you do it, and the more you realize, hold on, I actually married someone that I can trust with my emotions, as ironic as that might sound, it becomes easier. It becomes easier to open up. I'm still not great at this, but I have had moments where I got to a point and I just had to sit down and I said, this is what I'm dealing with. And there's no solution that comes out of it. But I will tell you this, your wife is probably a lot better at the support before you solve thing than you are. And it's nice to know that there is some validation in that conversation. It's also nice to know that you're not alone and that you have support. So I'm going to highly recommend that you open up, because I know you have emotions. And if you have kids, you definitely have emotions. I was the never cry individual, and then I had kids, and now I can't make it through some of these stupid cartoons that they watch without wanting to just, you know, leak a little bit from the eye. I can't watch Avengers Endgame where Tony Stark dies at the end without having to walk out of the room before I bawl like a baby. I can't do it because kids made me emotional. So I know you have emotions. Open up and share them with your wife. Number five, take notes. Now, I had a conversation with Adam King, who's a part of Dear Young Married Couple, and I want to tell you a little bit what he said about this. But first, I want to tell you the way that I approached it. His way is better than mine, and that's probably why he focuses on marriage and I focus on fatherhood. But what I have always done, or what I've done for quite some time, is when my wife sends me stuff that she's interested in, I copy and paste it into a note that I have for my wife, so that whenever it comes time to get a gift or to go out and shop for something, for a special occasion, I have a list to pull from. Part of me always thought that if I can't remember it, then it's not authentic. It's not genuine. If it's not just top of mind and right on the tip of my heart, then it's not sincere. That it's just kind of this canned reaction. And that's a load of crap. That's an excuse that I think we tell ourselves so that, I don't know, we end up still getting something lousy or we don't get anything at all, but somehow we feel justified in that because it was genuine, at least. We genuinely just didn't know what to do. And so we can find some weird assurance in the fact that we were authentic in our forgetfulness and laziness. It's a dumb excuse. Don't be that way. Take notes. So I have taken notes of gift ideas, things that my wife is interested in, places that she wants to go, things that she would like to acquire. I take notes of that. Now, what Adam King talked about in the last interview that I did with he and his wife, Carissa, he referenced the Queen of England and he referenced the servants and how they bring her things without her prompting. They know her routine. They know her schedule. They know what she likes and when she likes it. And so Adam said, if they do that for the Queen of England, how much more should I do that for my wife? And so that's something that he started to do that I would highly recommend. It is a very smart thing to do. So if your wife has a difficult drink order at Starbucks or wherever it is that she likes to visit, write it down. Learn it. Take a note. You don't necessarily have to commit it to memory, but you do need to have it cataloged somewhere so that you can reference that. And maybe you know my wife typically likes a coffee around 2 o'clock. If you happen to have free time within your schedule and you can go and you can grab that coffee and you can bring it to her at 2 o'clock and it's a total surprise, she will love it. Even if she was craving something different that day, she will so appreciate the gesture. So don't be afraid or intimidated or think that it's tacky to take notes of your wife. Learn her and her ways and write it down. Take notes. Number six, back to something that I think is fun, learn to cook. Now, you might be the grill master, and maybe that's how you can contribute. That's cool and all. But for me, it's not always convenient to go out and fire up the grill and make steaks or burgers or whatever it is. Some people, it's easier to do. It's not always the convenient thing for me to do. So along the way, I learned how to cook some things. Now, the benefit to this is you get to treat your wife. You get to also serve your wife. If your wife is the one who primarily cooks, she will so appreciate the fact that you say, hold up, babe, you go sit down or you go spend time with the kids. I've got dinner tonight. It might be awful the first time, but she's going to appreciate the fact that you stepped in and gave it a shot. Now, before you just up and randomly decide to give it a shot, it might take some baby steps to getting to a place where you feel moderately confident that dinner is going to be edible. So when I first got married, I didn't know how to cook an egg. So my wife showed me a thing or two, but I also YouTubed it. I just looked up some videos on YouTube, like, how do I cook an egg? So I saw Gordon Ramsay's fancy way of doing this. Apparently it's a big deal the way he makes his scrambled eggs. I don't quite do it like him because I'm not Gordon Ramsay, but still, I learned some things, learned some techniques, learned some theory behind how to cook particular things. Another thing that I did that I would also recommend is try one of these meal kit services like HelloFresh. That's the one that we used, but they also have Blue Apron. There's probably some other ones out there. But try something like that, because what they do is they give you all of the ingredients. They give you this big card with the instructions, and all you have to do is follow the instructions. If you can read, you can cook. So if you try something like that, you'll get exposure to cooking with different things. You'll get some practice. You'll have some guidance. You'll have the instructions right in front of you, and it helps. It really does. And the more you do it, the better you get at it. So there are times where, hey, I'll take care of dinner. And you know how much my wife appreciates that? A lot. And your wife will appreciate it too. So maybe you learn how to cook one thing. And that's where I started. I learned how to cook some Mexican quinoa dish. My wife loved it. Start with one. But learn how to cook, because it's a great way to serve your wife. And as husbands, that's what we are called to do. Number seven, going back to something difficult here. We're going to get real for a moment. And that is, if you have problems, I want you to get help. I want you to get help for your problems. Now, what I'm talking about are the things that you do in private that you're not comfortable with your wife knowing. If you're not okay with your wife knowing what you do in private, then what you do in private is not okay. It's not okay to do if you can't be honest about it. So this can be lots of things. This could be pornography. If you've got a problem with that, you need help. Don't think that you can just willpower your way through that. People get addicted to things and they think, when I get married, I'll grow up and I'll kick the addiction. Getting married isn't some magical thing that kicks addictions. Having kids, it's another milestone in our life that we think, oh, this will help me. Having kids does not help you overcome addiction either. Get help. I don't care if it's pornography. I don't care if it's substance abuse. I don't care if it's gambling of some sort. Whatever it is, whatever your vice is, whatever it is that poisons and plagues you, get help. Because if you deal with these things in secret and you're constantly being pulled away and you're constantly going through this struggle, eventually truth comes out. Eventually that distress you're in will manifest itself in other ways. And what will probably happen is you'll take out frustration of your constant failures to whatever your addiction is on the ones that you're supposed to love. There's nothing good that comes out of it. Problems are not a good thing to keep around. Problems are things that you need help with, that you need to fix, that you need to overcome. So, whatever it might be, if you have a problem, you need to get help and you need to resolve it. Because if you don't, they're going to put a strain on your marriage. They're going to put a strain on your ability to be the leader that your family needs you to be. Don't think that you can keep it in secret forever. Don't think that you can always keep it private. It will come out. So, if you have a problem, make sure you get help. Number 8, we're going back to something lovey-dovey here because I know I'm taking on this roller coaster of this is good and this is really tough and this is good and this is really tough. But number 8 is hug. This is a simple one, but it is such a helpful thing. In the morning, hug your wife. Before she goes to work, hug your wife. When she gets home, when you get home, when whoever gets home, hug your wife. Throughout the day, randomly, if you're with each other, hug your wife. I don't think you can hug enough. You can probably hug too much because if you never let go, you never get anything done. But I think you know what I mean. As you're just walking past each other through the house throughout the day, just take an extra moment and just give your wife a hug. Hold on to her. I wish I had been a little more diligent in my preparation for this podcast because I had read this study and I thought I should pull that, and I didn't, full confession. Maybe you can look it up, but there was a study that talked about the impact of giving somebody a hug for 20 seconds and everything that the body begins to do when it's embraced for 20 seconds. Just take the time to give your wife a hug periodically, and at least once a day, just hold on to her a little longer than usual. Hit the 20-second mark. Don't count it out in your head because then you're not focused on what you're supposed to be doing, but just hold her and just kind of get lost in that moment. Maybe talk to her while you're hugging her, but just give her a hug. Be a goofball. Be silly. Nibble her neck. I don't know what you do. Just, you know what I mean. Make sure you hug your wife and make sure you do it often. It's these little things like this that help marriages last. You've probably seen the little clips where old couples are interviewed. They've been married for 900 years. What's the secret? Oh, well, we still hold hands. It's those little things like that. For me, hugging has been one of those things. So, hug your wife. Number 9, you have to grow. Now, this isn't something that I have dealt with personally a little bit, and I can attest to it, but I have seen it when it goes really wrong. So, when I prompt you to grow, what I mean by this is your wife is going to grow. Your wife is going to mature. And if you never do, you're going to grow distant because she's going to become someone that you don't remember her being. She is going to mature in a way that you were not used to. She is going to grow intellectually in a way that might make you uncomfortable. She's going to grow and she's going to develop and she is going to change. Count on that. And if you don't, if you think, well, I'm married now. I've reached the mark that we all strive for. I got there. Now I can just kick back and relax and just go with the flow of things. If that's your mentality, at some point down the road, you're going to look at one another and not recognize each other. Because your wife is going to grow and your wife is going to develop. You have to put in the work to do the same. You don't view it as a competition. You view it as something you're doing together. You should both want to grow. You should both have dreams that you aspire to see become reality. You should both be in this thing together. It's kind of the idea of marriage. So you have to grow. Now, let me give you a story as to what can happen if you choose not to grow. I had a conversation with a woman who was married, not quite for 10 years, didn't make it that far. But she got married when she was younger. And her husband never changed anything about himself once they got married. Never changed his routine. Never changed anything that he did. He just kept on with his life. All he did was add someone to his house and shared a bed with this woman. That's it. And she grew up. She developed. She climbed her ladder at her company. She got smarter. She gained more favor with other people. She started making more money. And their marriage was struggling, partly because they never spent time with each other, because he never made time for her, because he was making time for all the things he made time for before he was married. And then he said something to her that you should never, ever, ever even think about saying to your wife. He said, "I wish you were just the same way you were when we got married. I wish you hadn't changed." And I remember when I was told that, I just thought to myself, what's the expectation? Do you really think that someone just shy of 20 is going to go through the next few years of their life and not develop? There's a lot of development that happens in children. There's a ton of development that happens in the teenage years. But even after you graduate high school, and you go into college and you get a job and you get real world experience, there's still change that happens. There's still a lot of change that happens, probably up till 25. And then even after that, we still continue to change and go through things. You have to really work to not change your life as you continue to grow old and mature. Well, like I said, they didn't make it to the 10-year mark. If you think that you can go on with your marriage and not grow and just stay how you are and be complacent, your wife will outgrow you. If you want to grow old with your wife, you have to grow together. So make sure that you're being intentional about your life, about your education, about your health, about your career, whatever it is that you are pursuing. Make sure that you are putting forth an effort to grow. And number 10, give of yourself. This is part of serving. This is Paul's message in Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. This is what we are called to do. But here's the thing that I want to just bring to the surface on this last point. And that is that when it says that we love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, the idea here is that you're giving yourself into the hands of another. similar to what Paul talks about in Romans 12, presenting your bodies as a living sacrifice. When the sacrifice was brought to the altar by the priest, there was no negotiation period. The goat or whatever it was, wasn't like, hold up, I think maybe if you let me eat a little bit more, then this will be better. If you just give me 5 more minutes, or, you know, can you take me for a walk first? I'd really like to digest this food. There's no conversation that happened with the sacrifice and the priest. They took the sacrifice to the altar and they did with it what they determined to do with it. And this is how Paul talks about us presenting ourselves to God, that we just give ourselves over to his hands. And this is the same language that we find in Ephesians 5, that Christ gave himself over. It wasn't his will. It wasn't about him. It's not what he was doing and what he wanted to do. So we're called in the same sense to give ourselves over to our wives so that we can serve them, so that we can be what they need, so that we can provide for them in a way that they need us to provide for them. This is the mentality that we have to have. And I know this is talked about often, and I know most husbands have probably heard this, but I included it in the list because this is something that I think we have to continue to work on each and every day, because there's still a little bit of self deep down in there, and there probably always will be. And coming to terms with, I put her before me, sometimes that means I'm going to get the short end of the stick, but I'm called to serve her. I'm called to serve her, to give myself for her. So sometimes this might mean you work and you're tired and you get home and she's tired too. You get up and you take care of the dishes. You get up and you sweep the floor, whatever it is. If you have an opportunity to say, I'm going to put myself in this state where I don't get the benefit, but it means you can get a benefit, then I'm going to do that. I might not enjoy it. I'm not saying you have to enjoy always getting the short end of the stick to serve your wife, but it's not about enjoyment. It's about doing it because it's the right way to do it. It's the model that Christ has set for us. It's not always easy, but it is good and it is right. And that's something that we've got to come to terms with. And that's why I wanted to add it right at the end of the list, because it's a mentality that we have to constantly remind ourselves to keep, that this isn't about me. I'm here to serve her. This isn't about me. I'm here to serve her, to give for her, to love her. And I'm to do it just like Christ loved me. He didn't get appreciation for what he did. Some people still never accept what he has done, but he did it anyway because it was the right thing to do. And that's how we're called to love our wives. So every day work on that mentality that I'm supposed to give myself over to her, to serve her, to love her. Here's the list one more time. My 10 marriage tips after 10 years of marriage. Number one, support before you solve. Number two, do what you say. And with that, make sure you don't take advantage of the relationship you have with your wife so that you can do things for other people above doing things for her. Number three, take trips without the kids. Amen. Hallelujah. Number four, open up. Share your emotions with your wife. Number five, take notes. Make life easy on yourself. Learn your wife. Take notes. Number six, learn to cook. Get in the kitchen. Chop it up. Number seven, get help with your problems. This could be a close friend. This could be a pastor. This could be a therapist, counselor, fatheringourfuture@gmail.com, and I'll do my best to help you or get you help. Get help for your problems. Number eight, hug. Just hug your wife. Number nine, grow. Be intentional about your maturity in this life. And number 10, give of your self. Seek to serve your wife and to have that mentality that Christ had for us. Those are my 10 marriage tips after a decade of marriage. Still hard to believe, but there you go. These are things that I've learned along the way that I'm still working at. Again, I said it at the beginning, but I will echo it one more time. Not the perfect husband. I'm not telling you this because I've mastered all of these things. I'm telling you this because I've realized these are 10 things that I wish I would have started working on a long time ago. But now I'm working on these things, and eventually, sometime down the road, maybe decade number two, I'll be a little closer to having these things down, and hopefully you will too. So let's close out with a word of prayer, and then you can go listen to something else. Lord, thank you for the institution of marriage that you crafted. Thank you for the relationships that we have, the comfort that we can have in those relationships. I pray that every husband listening would take to heart what your word instructs us to do. That at the core of everything that has been talked about today, there's a mentality of service. There's a mentality of giving. There's a mentality of loving as you loved us. I pray that you would help us with that. I pray that you would prompt us and remind us continually that it's not about us, that that's not what we're living for, that first and foremost, it's about you, but secondly, it's about our wives. So give us the wisdom, give us the strength, give us the courage to love our wives as you have instructed us to love our wives, and help us to grow in these relationships so that we can be beacons of truth and light to our children, and that from our families can flow your goodness and your righteousness and the benefits of your kingdom to those that we come in contact with. We ask all of this in your great name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you so much for being with me. I am with you on this journey called fatherhood. If you need anything from me, fatheringourfuture@gmail.com, and I will happily get back with you and help you however I can. But this is Fathering Our Future. I'm Anthony Vandegrift, and I hope you will join me next time. I want to thank you again for listening to Fathering Our Future and for endeavoring to grow as a dad. But I want to ask you to become more than just a subscriber. I want to ask you to consider becoming a supporter of Fathering Our Future. Whether it's a one-time gift today or a monthly commitment, whatever you give, it's not too small. It will contribute to Fathering Our Future, continuing to grow and to expand and to reach dads. All you have to do is go to fatheringourfuture.com, click the donate button, and give whatever you would like to give. Thank you, and God bless.